From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, May 2nd, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Diversions Puzzles and Games, committed to offering fun, social, and technology-free ways to connect at Hannaford Plaza by Main Mall and DiversionsGames.com, and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at RedZoneWireless.com.
Democratic Governor Janet Mills has issued her first veto. The vetoed legislation would prohibit almost all sale of motor fuels containing more than 10% ethanol. Mills noted that E15, gasoline containing 15% ethanol, is not currently sold in Maine. And she says there's not enough scientific evidence to support claims that E15 adversely impacts health. Mills says if new and reputable scientific evidence emerges that higher percentage ethanol fuels cause health concerns, she would reconsider the measure. The Maine House today gave initial approval to a bill that would declare Election Day a state holiday. Mal Leary has more.
Supporters hope that by making Election Day a holiday, more voters would be free to vote. The bill, approved on a vote of 74 to 69, would require state government to close, but not businesses or municipal governments. Those behind the measure say they hope that some would voluntarily observe the holiday, increasing voter turnout. Opponents argue that Maine already has one of the highest voter participation rates in the country, and that the holiday would end up costing cities and towns more to conduct elections. The proposal faces further votes in the House and Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And companies dealing with Maine's well-documented workforce shortage met in Portland today for a forum on how the state's growing immigrant communities can help. The Portland Office of Economic Opportunity, Portland Regional Chamber of Commerce, and Catholic Charities Maine held the event at the University of Southern Maine. Quincy Hensel is CEO of the Portland Chamber. She says the organizations wanted to get employers into a room together.
We wanted them in the room so that we could have this conversation with them and really get a sense from the employers as to what are their barriers, what are the barriers and the challenges they're facing from hiring in this talent pool.
Hensel says many new immigrants in Maine are highly trained professionals, particularly in engineering and IT. But in some cases, credentialing issues prevent them from working in their trade in the U.S. In weather tonight, becoming overcast statewide with lows in the 30s to the low 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy except for some morning sun in the north. Rain at night with highs in the low to mid 50s. On Saturday, partly sunny to partly cloudy with highs in the high 50s to the 60s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy south with a chance of showers. Otherwise, mostly sunny, highs in the 60s. A bill that would eliminate most non-medical exemptions to the state's school vaccination requirements moved forward, but also hit a snag today. The Senate moved the bill forward, but narrowly voted to retain exemptions for religious reasons. The House has rejected restoring religious exemptions, so the measure will have to undergo additional votes before it goes to the desk of Democratic Governor Janet Mills for her signature. Steve Missler has the story.
The bill would require that starting in 2021, children in Maine would have to be immunized in order to attend school or daycare, unless a physician determines that a vaccine poses a specific health risk. The public debate over the issue has been fierce from the get-go. Parents and activists flooded the public hearing on the measure, and many returned to the State House Thursday to watch as Republicans and Democrats debated a central question. At what point does public health supersede a person's individual rights and beliefs? In some cases, the arguments have been deeply personal. Republican Senator Robert Foley of Wells explained from the Senate floor that his two-month-old daughter died more than 30 years ago, shortly after receiving her schedule of vaccinations.
There's not a person in this chamber or in these halls who will ever convince us that those shots did not play a significant and vital role in our daughter's untimely and unwarranted death.
Anti-vaccination sentiments have contributed to recent outbreaks of once eradicated diseases around the country. A measles outbreak prompted quarantines at two Los Angeles universities just last week. In April, city officials in Brooklyn, New York, ordered mandatory vaccinations to counter an outbreak of measles there. And last month, the Maine Center for Disease Control reported that immunization rates in Maine had dipped below the herd immunity level of 95%. Herd immunity is the threshold above which the spread of disease within a population is unlikely, even among those who are unvaccinated. Democratic State Senator Shenna Bellows of Manchester says she's been contacted by dozens of parents who say their children have been seriously harmed by vaccines.
For some children in some populations, vaccines can cause injury or death, and the lack of recourse or redress for those children and their families is breathtaking.
But while Bellows was sympathetic to what she described as credible stories of vaccine injuries, she was ultimately persuaded by the parents of immunocompromised children whose health depends on herd immunity and who could be forced to pull their children out of school.
For them, I will vote in favor of this compromise, while imperfect, a step forward.
The compromise Bellows referred to is a provision that broadens the ways that a parent could request a medical exemption and also allows families to choose alternate vaccination schedules. The Democratic-controlled Senate voted 20-15 to pass the bill, with all but one Democrat, Senator David Miramont of Camden, supporting it. An amendment sponsored by Miramont that restored religious exemptions was approved by one vote. The amendment was backed by three Democrats and all 15 Republicans, including Assistant Minority Leader Senator Jeff Timberlake of Turner. Timberlake said the removal of even just one exemption based on philosophical reasons was already a government overreach, let alone the move to strike the religious exemption too.
This is people's rights. We're telling people what you've got to inject in their bodies. I can't even believe we're having the conversation to begin with.
A similar bid to retain the religious exemption in the House narrowly failed last month. Now, with the two chambers at odds, Democrats in the House and Senate will have to reconcile their differences, or the bill could stall altogether. If the Senate bill passes, Maine will join the 30 states that do not allow exemptions for philosophical reasons. If the House version passes, Maine will become just the fourth state to prohibit religious exemptions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock, where we'll talk about the history of the Grange and what's happening now with the organization. I'm Nora Flaherty.